Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. May your people exult forever, O God, in renewed youthfulness of spirit, so that, rejoicing now in the restored glory of our adoption, we may look forward in confident hope to the rejoicing of the day of resurrection. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter said to the people, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of those we are witness. Now I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance, that as your leaders did, just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." The word of the Lord.
God of justice gave me answer. From anguish you released me. Have mercy and hear me. Lord, let your face shine on us. Know that the Lord works wonders for his faithful one. The Lord will hear me whenever I call him. Lord, let your face shine on us. Lift up the light of your face on us, O Lord. You have put into my heart a greater joy. Lord, let your face shine on us. In peace I will lie down and fall asleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Lord, let your face shine on us.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is expiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. The way we may be sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Those who say, "I know him," but do not keep his commandments, are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. The word of the Lord.
Open the scriptures to us. Make our hearts burn while you speak to us. Thank you.
be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we all have within us the power to stand for something, and the way we use that power determines in a large measure the quality of our lives. At the close of today's gospel reading, our Lord said to his disciples, "You are witnesses of this." He was reminding them that they could be more than themselves, that they have within themselves the power to stand for something good. He would tell us the same thing, that each of us has the ability to identify ourselves with something greater than ourselves, so that when people think of us, they think also of that for which we stand. Christ made it clear that he wants that ability to be used on his behalf. You are witnesses of this. He made that statement in reference to his death and his resurrection. Both of these were accomplished facts, and now came his challenge to a worldwide mission in which penance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached to all the nations. His appeal to those first disciples was that they commit themselves to that truth and give their lives for that cause. His appeal to us is exactly the same. Let's start with recognizing that each of us is going to represent something in our lives. That is inescapable. Every life is associated with, linked to, and stands for some value beyond itself. A little baby starts out with as nothing more than just a baby. But even in the early formative years, a small child begins to be identified with certain attitudes and actions. He's either fretful or happy. He's shy or outgoing. He's rebellious or docile. He's energetic or lazy. The longer he lives, the more his life accumulates meaning. The way he handles his schoolwork, the friends that he chooses, the activities in which he participates, all become a part of his identity. And when he is grown and his habits and interests are established, he has identified himself with those things that his life represents. We can sit here and recall some notable names of history, and we will know each of those names, and our mind will immediately leap to an association. You can't help but think of things that those names represent. If I mention the name of Babe Ruth, everyone thinks of baseball. I speak the name of Al Capone, and our minds think of the Chicago criminal mob. I mention the name of Mozart, and everyone thinks of music. These things and these people are bound together inseparably. To think of that person is to think of that which they represent. So it is with each of us. We may not possess fame or notoriety, but we still represent something to the minds of the people who know us. Think of the people whom you personally know and see how inevitably they have achieved an identity, so that when you think of them, you think of the things that they stand for. That, of course, raises and leaves unanswered one all-important question. What do we remind people of when they think of us? Our life stands for something. What is that something? Our reading confronts us with a second challenging fact, that the least of us can stand for the greatest of things. It was to an ordinary group of men that our Lord said, "You are witnesses of this." There was not a man of power or prestige in the whole group. They carried no impressive credentials of any kind. Yet he told them that they could link their lives with his cause and come to represent in their generation and all succeeding generations, the greatest thing that the world had ever known. The humblest and the least can represent the highest and the best. Take, for example, that indispensable element that we call water. The entire productivity of the earth depends upon it. Without water, life on this planet would vanish. Yet consider how not just simply the oceans or the great lakes or the mighty rivers, but every mountain stream, every farmer's well, and every spring shower represent this life-giving necessity. So it is with the moral and spiritual qualities of life. Honesty is indispensable. It is desperately needed in the halls of Congress and in the courts of justice and the executive offices of the world. Without simple personal honesty in high places, no society can long endure. But every school child who refuses to cheat on a test, every clerk behind a register who refuses to defraud a customer, is a representative of this indispensable quality. This is a challenge of life that none of us can escape. The humblest among us can represent the greatest of values. A flickering candle can stand for the same light that the sun represents. In some corners of the world, a candle can often go where the sun cannot and provide light in places where electricity has never been heard of. So none of us escapes the question, what does our life represent? We stand for something. Every one of us does. Honesty or dishonesty, understanding or strife, generosity or greed. Whenever people think of us, they think also of those qualities of life, those values with which we have chosen to identify ourselves. And here lies the potential glory of every individual life. The least among us can represent the greatest of things. We close with one other thought. Our Lord does not leave us in confusion as to what we should represent in our lives. When he said, "You are witnesses of this," he was referring to his sacrificial death, triumphant resurrection, and his message of forgiveness to be shared with the whole world. Think of it, my dear friends. We can represent the life and mission of our Lord, and we can do this in at least two ways. First, we can live like forgiven people. Sometimes we forget that the forgiveness of our sins is no small matter. In the gospel message, it is forever linked with the cross of Calvary. And that is a constant reminder that we are dealing with a very important issue. God takes our sin seriously. He doesn't forgive them with a simple act of the will. He could have just said, "Let there be forgiveness," as simply as he said, "Let there be light." And the sun and the moon and the stars came into existence. But he did not. Our pardon is written in his own divine agony and blood. If we ever realize that, it will inevitably have a measurable effect on the quality of our lives. To be forgiven by God is certainly the most moving experience through which a human heart can undergo. Once this is understood, no one can casually go out and live the sinful way that he lived before. The second thing that we can do is to become forgiving people. And each of us is empowered to do this by the grace of our baptism and confirmation. The world, in one sense, is a great society of sinners. There is wrongness and perverseness in every one of us. Living together as we do, it is inevitable that we hurt other people and are hurt by them. When we sin, we are all part of the problem. The only possible difference is in the way we respond to this pattern of hurting and being hurt. We can get angry and seek revenge, or we can hold that hurt inside and become bitter and resentful. Or we can open our hearts to forgive others just as God has forgiven us. Those who make this last response, at home, at school, at work, or wherever it may be, they represent the cross of Christ. They don't have to preach sermons or wear a big sign that says, "I'm a Christian." They are witnesses of Christ, just as surely as were the original apostles. Their very lives represent the only hope of healing that this sin-sick world has ever known, the healing grace of Christ. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us stand and profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us offer our prayers to our Heavenly Father for the needs of all the world through our Advocate Jesus Christ, the Righteous One, who constantly intercedes for us in His presence.
For the safety of persecuted Christians everywhere, as they proclaim repentance for the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those in every nation who suffer from injustice and the failures of their political systems, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all the infants and young children being baptized this Easter season, as they grow in faith through the love and support of their family, friends, and faith community, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For farmers and farm workers who plant and tend the crops and food that nourish and sustain us, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who serve and protect our nation at home and abroad, and for their families and loved ones, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Ben Mir, Marcelino B. Gonzalez, Jesusita J. Canales, Delia Farias, Joe Cueva, and for the intentions of the Most Reverend William Michael Mulvey on his fifth episcopal ordination, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Now, my dear friends, for all of the prayers that we hold in the silence of our hearts. For all of our intentions, spoken and unspoken, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray. O God of all truth, hear the prayers of your people, reborn in the waters of baptism, and strengthen your church to answer your call. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Thank you.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Let us pray. Receive, O Lord, we pray, these offerings of your exultant church, and as you have given her cause for such great gladness, grant also that the gifts we bring may bear fruit in perpetual happiness, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, at all times to acclaim you, O Lord, but in this time above all to laud you yet more gloriously, when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. He never ceases to offer himself for us, but defends us and ever pleads our cause before you. He is the sacrificial victim who dies no more, the Lamb once slain who lives forever. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exults in your praise, and even the heavenly powers with the angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim.
Holy.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this. this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me.
The mystery of faith.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Michael, our Bishop, his brother Bishops Edmund and Renee, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever. Amen. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit. Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Peace be with you. And 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 peace be with you. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper
Hello,
of the Lamb.
Hello, I'm Father Han Pham, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.